Okay, today we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 15. We're going to be in the first 7 verses today. Ahora vamos a estar en Proverbios 15, en los primeros 7 versículos que tiene el Señor para nosotros. Le llamé al sermón de ahora las bendiciones que trae la obediencia a la palabra de Dios. Okay, I titled today's sermon, The Blessings Obedience to God's Word Brings. Okay, and this is one of the things that as Solomon is leaving his children instruction, he is giving them the keys to obedience, in other words, to the Word of God. And so we're going to learn here the beautiful way that obedience blesses us. And so we're going to see the blessings that God brings upon obedient children. Okay, vamos a mirar aquí las bendiciones que trae Dios a sus hijos y hijas obedientes. Y una de las cosas que nos va a enseñar es cómo aplicar esa obediencia cuando leemos y aplicamos la palabra a nuestras vidas. So el capítulo 15 está llena de muchos tesoros de cómo mirar esa bendición, ¿verdad? Cuando más y más obedecemos la palabra de Dios. We're going to look at the blessings this obedience brings in chapter 15 and what a treasure it is to continue to take in those blessings as we continue to remain faithful to God's word. So we're going to start with verses 1 and 2 today. Vamos a comenzar con los versículos 1 y 2. Y una de las cosas que quiero que miren es que la palabra es muy clara en cómo podemos hacer nosotros más obedientes para el Señor. Okay, and remember that the keys to obedience are very clear in Scripture. It says here, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. Versículo 1. La suave respuesta aparta el furor, mas la palabra hiriente hace subir la ira. Y luego el versículo 2 dice, la lengua del sabio hace grato, dice aquí, hace grato el conocimiento, pero la boca de los necios habla necedades. Okay, so the first point I want to leave you with is the blessings of obedience to God's word brings something that you can recognize here in these two verses. One of the things it brings is that it will reduce your relationship problems when you're having conflict with someone else. Okay, la cosa que hace la obediencia a la palabra reduce tus problemas de relación cuando andas en obediencia a la palabra. Notice what it says, right? Verse 1. Miren lo que dice el versículo 1 en Proverbios 15. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. La suave respuesta aparta el furor, mas la palabra hiriente hace subir la ira. Entonces lo que nos enseña la palabra aquí en Proverbios es que tenemos nosotros que tener cuidado en cómo hablamos con la gente. One of the things we have to learn as we're learning through the word is we should always be careful on how we speak to people. How we answer them as well, cuando les damos las respuestas también. And una de las cosas, ¿verdad?, que tenemos que tener cuidado es cómo confrontamos a alguien cuando hay un problema. When there's conflicts in relationships, we have to be careful how we confront the people we're confronting, right? And so, it says here with a soft answer. In other words, you don't lose it because you know you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Aquí, ¿verdad?, no pierdes tu calma cuando andas teniendo conflicto. Porque si contestas en la carne con palabras hirientes, vas a cosechar carne. Right, one of the things is when you lose it and you respond in the flesh, you're going to reap flesh as well. So it says here, be careful with those harsh and painful words you can't take back many times. How many times have we lost it and said things that hurt people and then we can't get those things back? And it's very hard to restore a relationship. ¿Cuántas veces dejamos ir palabras hirientes, duras, y es muy duro, muy difícil para reparar esas relaciones? Pero dice aquí, si contestas con una dulce respuesta, ¿verdad? Una hermosa respuesta, entonces vas a tener algo bien precioso que vas a poder alcanzar esa persona. But if you use a soft answer, remember, this is where it counts the best. We're limited in the times that we can present Jesus to someone. There's only so many times we'll get opportunities. And sometimes when we've been ministering to people after a while, right, we get tired. And sometimes the flesh comes out. You'll never understand. Or you'll never listen to me, right? And then the Lord says, wait a minute. I've told you to respond the other way, with soft words. you know what? I love you, I care for you, and I'm just telling you this because you mean so much to me. But there's so many times people will push our buttons too. And they do it intentionally. Why? Because they want to see that carnal Christian come out. And then they want you to lose your testimony. So the Bible's very clear. When you use words, make sure you're wise as to who you are confronting. Remember that the enemy's plan is to rob people from coming to Christ. Acuérdense que el plan del enemigo es de robar a gente que se venga a Cristo. Y todo el tiempo parece de arrede que te pusan los botones, ¿verdad? Y ahí andas tú en la carne y después ya no puedes agarrar tus palabras para atrás. Dice el Señor, sea sabio, sea sabia cuando ministre. See, a grievous answer stirs up wrath and anger. And that's not going to bring anything good in your relationships. What you want is to discern. Remember, you're not fighting against the person. You're fighting against the enemy and the powers of the enemy that are trying to rob them of salvation. Estás usando contra la gente, ¿verdad? Que necesita salvación, pero no te puedes perder la calma, porque si la pierdes, vas a perder ese pescadito que se iba a venir al Señor muchas veces. Okay, mucho cuidado. Do your best, remember, and it starts with each of us, to not stir up wrath. Cada quien tiene individualmente que comenzar a no traer ira, ni enojo, ni coraje a la situación. Remember, when you know someone, that's even more critical. Cuando no conoces a alguien, ¿verdad? Es más crítico que no andes tú con palabras que hieren. Muchas veces queremos sacar el martillo, te vas a venir a Cristo, ¿verdad? O sacamos la bibliota, ¿verdad? Grande, y les vamos a dar con la Biblia. ¿Qué no entiendes, cabezón? Yo me acuerdo cuando me salvé de principio, a mi papá sí le hablaba. ¿Qué no entiende, viejito? ¿Que se va a ir al infierno si no hace caso? Y ahí andaba yo con la Biblia, dándole pura escritura, pero duro, muy, muy seco. Y mi papá me decía, y con más ganas me puchaba los botones. Mira, mira, no me hables de tu Cristo. I was remembering when I was ministering to my dad. And the first way I started ministering is I said, well, I know the word of God. He has to come to Christ. I got to tell it like it is. And I had my big Bible with me, and I would tell him all the verses, but I would do it cold-heartedly. In other words, I was just doing it. Can't you understand? You're going to hell if you don't come to the Lord. And my dad said, get out of here. Don't talk to me about your Jesus. See, I got my own way of worshiping God. And that's one of the things they'll use. You know, I'm walking with God. I know God. And he would get upset. But then when you started using those soft words of kindness and goodness, and after a while, after we would go out together, all of a sudden those soft words started reaching. And my dad was kneeling, saying the Lord's Prayer with me 2 years before he passed away. And he came to Christ. He had forgotten if he smoked, the coarse words he would speak like a sailor. None of that. But it also helped that he got a stroke before because he forgot he smoked. But the issue, you know, more than anything was, how was I delivering the gospel? If I don't know someone, I can't bring the hammer out and start hitting them. I first have to establish the relationship. Once I establish the relationship, then they'll start hearing and listening to you. And that can happen with our kids as well. If we're not close to our kids and we tell them about Jesus and all they see us as the mean enforcer, they themselves will say, I don't want your Jesus. And it'll be hard. Nothing leads a person more than the kindness of God. His kindness leads us to repentance, the Bible says. La bondad de Dios nos lleva al arrepentimiento. Pero sí les dijimos la verdad en amor, pero no secos, no duros, porque todos antes estábamos ciegos, acuérdense. We were all blind before. And we got to remember where we come from. But when they experience the grace of God, that is what transforms them to become these new creatures that understand the gospel. Cuando los toca la gracia de Dios y su misericordia, cambian. ¿Verdad? Y miras el poder de lo que pasa con el Señor. So remember, if a person comes back to you angry, they're pushing your buttons, and that's the enemy trying to get you to lose your testimony. Don't go there. Take a step back, take a pause, and say, Lord, help me. Because right now I'm irritated, and I want to bring down the hammer, right? And the Lord says no. Remember, if you want to end strife, if you want to end arguments, do it with a loving heart. Remember where you come from. Acuérdense de dónde vienen. El Señor nos enseña a pelear esta guerra dócilmente. Remember, if you're going to be saved by Jesus Christ, and you tell that person, if you're going to be saved, when he leads you into the kingdom, he doesn't beat you up. He leads you with his love, and what he did on the cross for you as a model. That's what they got to see. Why it's good news for the sinner. Why it's great news for people who really are looking for answers to life. So acuérdense que es bonito cuando ya ellos entienden que necesitan un Dios, el amor de Dios los va a llenar, la gracia de Dios, y luego su bondad cuando cae sobre ellos. ¿Cómo nos salvó a nosotros? ¿Cuántos de ustedes fueron golpeados al reino? How many of you were beaten into the kingdom of God? None of us. It was all by his loving grace. Amen? So don't forget that. Proverbs 17:14. Let's go there. When people also want to talk bad about Christ, the Bible's very clear here. We have to stand up for Jesus. Okay? And one other thing it says in verse 2, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools sprouts folly. Dice en el versículo 2, la lengua del sabio hace grato el conocimiento, pero la boca de los necios habla necedad. Okay? When people are pushing our buttons, they're talking foolishness, right? But we have to remember that and discern, because one of the things that the Bible says is be wise when you deliver. Cuando ustedes hablan, tengan cuidado. Mire lo que dice el versículo 2, ¿verdad? Y luego mire aquí en Proverbios 17:14, dice, Proverbs 17:14 says, the beginning of strife is like letting out water. So abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. El comienzo de la contienda es como el soltar de las aguas. Deja pues la riña antes que empiece. So what it's saying here, look, if anger is there, it's just going to burst the bag. And that water, that anger comes out, and it will really cause you more problems, and you will not reach those people for Christ. Hay veces que también, ¿verdad?, tenemos que mirarle el comienzo de la contienda. Es como el soltar las aguas de una bolsa que se revienta. No vas a poder ganar a esa persona, ¿verdad?, porque andas tan enojado y no estás pensando de su alma. See, some people just let it all go. And it's with someone they don't know, and they can never lead those people to Christ again. You hurt them. How many people get hurt in church because of an argument, and then they never come back to church? ¿Cuánta gente se lastima en la iglesia, verdad, cuando los lastiman y luego ya no regresan, verdad, a la iglesia porque los lastimaron? See, their anger and harmful words is like opening the floodgates. That's what it's saying. Ese coraje, ¿verdad? Cuando trae la contienda es como abriendo las puertas, ¿verdad? De un río o un mar y de una de las cosas que dice, cálmate. ¿Para qué andas con tanto coraje? Mejor cálmate, haz las aguas tranquilas. So what the word is saying, look, don't let those waters flow out, especially with our kids, right? As parents, you lose it sometimes, but sometimes the way we speak to them is like floodgates, man. We let it all out, and then we want results, and after a while, they're hurt with us, and so they won't come to trust us. Remember, it says, don't open the floodgates. No abras las puertas del diluvio, sino deja la contienda a un lado. Leave off contention, it's what it's saying. And use softer words. Don't start fights with people either. Que no comiences pleitos con la gente, usa palabras dóciles, ¿verdad? Now, listen, don't get confused. There's a people that pick fights with you because of your faith. And they talk smack about the Lord, right? They talk bad about the Lord. Those people you've got to tell off. You know what? You don't speak about my God that way. He's very important to me. Hay gente que también te pica, ¿verdad? Y hablan cosas, ¿verdad? Necias del Señor. Y tú les tienes que decir ahí, ¿sabes qué? No hables así de mi Dios. Porque yo amo mi Dios. ¿Verdad? Entonces, ¿verdad? Hay gente que ya comienza pleitos nomás para poder hacerte, ¿verdad? Tener ira y coraje. There's people that will push you because of your faith to start fights. But if they're talking foolishness against our Lord, we speak up. Do not be bashful about letting the hammer down at that time. Si están hablando tonterías de nuestro Señor, hay que hablarles fuertemente. One of the things, they're starting the contention and they're starting the strife. Ellos están comenzando, ¿verdad? La ira, están comenzando los problemas. Acuérdense. But they're lying about our God, and we have to speak up for our God. Cuando hablan mentiras de nuestro Señor, hay que ponernos fuerte. Hay que defender al Señor. En nuestra fe. Okay, so when people are mocking God, we step up to the plate. Don't meddle with God and his words, is what the scripture is saying. No anden jugando con la palabra de Dios y sus palabras. And go to Genesis 13. I want you to see something. Strife between us as brothers and sisters should not exist. La ira y la contienda entre nosotros no debe de existir. Nosotros tenemos que resolver nuestros problemas. We have to resolve our problems. Okay, Genesis 13. Here, Abraham and Lot separated peacefully because Abraham said, I don't want any problems. Abraham said, you know what, Lot? You pick your side, I pick mine, because the herdsmen were fighting, right? Because there was super overcrowdedness because of all the blessings God had given them. All these sheep, right? All the things that they had. And so they were fighting over territory. And so Abram was the one who directed it and said, let's not do that because we have to go. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. And one of the things that Lot saw was what his eyes wanted to see, remember? And he picked the worst spot ever because that was Sodom and Gomorrah in the future. Okay, cuando miramos aquí, ¿verdad? Lo que estaba ocurriendo entre Abraham y Lot, una de las cosas que Abraham no quería problemas ni contienda, que le dice, somos familia, ¿cómo podemos estar peleándonos nosotros por terreno? ¿Verdad? Tú vete a la izquierda, yo me voy a la derecha, te vas a la derecha, yo me voy a la izquierda, tú escoge. Y Lot miró lo verde y dice, aquí es donde quiero, ¿verdad? Y era Sodoma y Gomorra. Le salió peor su escoger, y mire lo que dice la palabra. Look at what the word of God says. So Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. It is not the whole land before you. It's not the whole land before you. Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right. Or if to the right, then I will go to the left. And Abram ended up in Canaan, right? Y Abraham dijo a Lot, te ruego que no haya contienda entre nosotros, ni entre mis pastores y tus pastores, porque somos hermanos. ¿No está toda la tierra delante de ti? Te ruego que te separes de mí. Si vas a la izquierda, vamos a la derecha. Y si a la derecha, yo me iré a la izquierda. Él lo hizo porque sabía, ¿para qué nos vamos a pelear por cosas materiales? Why are we going to fight over material things? You know how much I see that as a pastor? When people are gone and they die, that the family's fighting over stuff. It's sad. You know how they say the blood's not even cold yet, and they're fighting for stuff. See, that's the thing that the Bible is teaching us. One of the things, don't let strife come between your families for stuff. No dejen que cosas separen a familia. Yo como pastor miro mucho de eso. Cuando se muere una persona, y anda la persona peleándose, ¿verdad? Yo quiero esto, yo quiero... Y muchas veces está la persona viva en la cama cuando los está mirando pelear. So many times there's people awake in the bed where people are fighting over stuff. You know, that's sad. The Bible says we're family, right? So there shouldn't be any strife in the church as well. Nosotros dice la palabra que somos hermanos, ¿verdad? Familia. Entonces no debe de haber contienda entre nosotros tampoco. Remember what Abraham said, for we are brethren. Dijo aquí Abraham, ¿verdad? Porque somos hermanos. See, the Bible always shows us how to resolve things. If you submit to God in obedience and to his word, we shouldn't have strife. Si nos sometemos en obediencia a la palabra de Dios, no debemos de tener contienda. It all starts with God's word. That's why we need to learn it. Por eso tenemos que aprender la palabra, porque ahí se quita la contienda. Y entre más te sometes a su palabra, llévatelo. ¿Para qué lo quiero yo? You know, you give it to the person, you say, once you learn it's in God's word, you know, if you need it more, take it. See, the thing is to love people while they're alive. When you have people alive, appreciate them. That stuff, it's not going to go far. As a matter of fact, it does not last. I've seen people who want things and all of a sudden they're broken because God can't bless things like that. El Señor no puede bendecir cosas así. Ahí anda la gente agarrándose, ¿verdad? Por un sartén. Yo le digo, ¿qué tan locos? Mejor amen a la persona cuando está viva y aprecienla. Okay? Look at verse 2 of Proverbs 15. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. La lengua del sabio hace grato el conocimiento, pero la boca de los necios habla necedades. The implication here is that knowledge can be used in a foolish way. La implicación aquí es que el entendimiento se puede usar en una manera necia, ¿verdad? I thought of Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane. Pensé de Pedro cuando leí este versículo. Y se acuerdan una de las cosas cuando los soldados se querían llevar a Jesús ya para arrestarlo, ¿verdad? Para encarcelarlo, ¿verdad? Una de las cosas que hizo Pedro, sacó su espada, ¿se acuerdan? Y le cortó la oreja a Malco. Y una de las cosas que pasó, que Jesús le pegó el oído para atrás, le dijo, alza tu espada. Remember when Peter was there in the garden when they were going to arrest the Lord? And one of the things that Peter did, he took out his sword, right away, and he cut off Malchus's ear in the garden. And remember, one of the things they were after Jesus, right? And Jesus says, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to go and with anger fight. He put the ear back on Malchus. And one of the things that I saw there is that when Peter was there, something had happened before, and he was trying to make up for it. Remember when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord had told them, would you pray for me? Because he was having the battle of going to the cross. You remember? And then he found him asleep. This is why he got the way he did. Because one simple job God gave them, and that was to stay awake and pray. Right? At the garden. The Garden of Gethsemane is a symbol of prayer. El jardín de Getsemane, ¿verdad? Es un símbolo de la oración. Y Jesús le había dicho a Pedro y a los discípulos, oren por mí, estoy pasando por dificultad porque voy a la cruz. ¿Y qué pasó? Se quedaron dormidos, ¿se acuerdan? Lo que Pedro quiso hacer cuando le cortó la oreja al siervo, quiso hacer algo en la carne porque no estaba espiritual en el momento que cuentaba. See, what Peter wanted to do was he wanted to do make up for his spiritual lackness, what he didn't do spiritually, and so he did an act of flesh, and right away he went, I'll protect you, Lord, now I'm ready. And he cut off a ear. An act of flesh versus what he should have done spiritually. He did not pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. And remember, Gethsemane is a symbol of prayer. So what does that tell us as we continue to study? Look at John 8, verses 8 to 12. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. When they had heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone, and the woman there was in the center court. Now, one of the things I want you to see there, this is the woman at the well, right? Straightening up, Jesus said to her, woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, I do not condemn you either. Go now and sin no more. Then Jesus spoke again to him, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I want you to understand what was happening there. As Scripture was telling it, one of the things, let's go to chapter 18 now. Let's go to chapter 18. Vamos a San Juan 18. Y mire lo que pasó allí con Pedro. Now let's go to John. Remember, he was telling the woman at the well, I don't condemn you. And he would never condemn Peter for what he had done. But Peter felt he needed to be forgiven. Right? And so if we go to John 18. Look at verses 8 to 12. They came to arrest him, and Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these go their way, to fulfill the word which he spoke. Of those whom you have given me, I have not lost one. Simon Peter, then having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave, which was Malchus, and cut off his right ear. And the slave's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, put the sword into the sheath, the cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it? So the Roman cohort and the commander and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. Mira versículo 8 de San Juan 18. Respondió Jesús, oh, he dicho que yo soy, cuando vinieron a arrestarlo. Por tanto, si me buscáis a mí, dejar ir a estos, para que se cumplara la palabra que había dicho. De los que me diste no perdí ninguno. Entonces Simón Pedro, que tenía una espada, la sacó y hirió al siervo del sumo sacerdote y le cortó la oreja derecha. El siervo se llamaba Malco. Jesús entonces dijo a Pedro, mete la espada en la vaina, la copa que el Padre me ha dado, ¿acaso no la debía de beber? Entonces la cohorte romana, el comandante y sus alguaciles de los judíos prendieron a Jesús y lo ataron. See, Peter, coming from the place where he should have been praying, tried to make up for it. And so he sliced and diced. And the Lord says, look, I don't fight that way. El Señor, ¿verdad?, lo cuidó a Pedro y le dijo aquí, mira, yo no peleo así. Pero fíjense, la última maravilla que hizo Jesús antes de que fuera crucificado era para sanar a este hombre, que su mano derecha, Pedro, le cortó la oreja. This is the last miracle before the cross that Jesus performed, going to the cross, and he healed the Malchus's ear, which was wounded by Peter, his right-hand man, with the sword. What it's showing us in this verse is be careful how you use the sword. What is the sword? The word of God. Tengan mucho cuidado como usan la espada del Señor. Porque en los lugares como el jardín, acuérdense que es un símbolo de orar, no de estar en la carne. Y muchas veces nosotros queremos hacer cosas cuando debemos estar orando. Y dice el Señor, no andes ahorita en la carne, ora antes de confrontar a alguien. He was going to be confronted, right? By the Roman army. Instead of praying, Peter came out in the flesh, and this is where we get the message. If Jesus had not healed that ear, can you imagine they could have killed Jesus there and they would have stopped the road to the cross? Se imaginan si en la carne estaban, ¿verdad? Lo que hizo Pedro iba a causar que lanzaran a Jesús también y el diablo quería parar el camino a la cruz. Es muy importante entender que hay tiempos de orar y la palabra es muy peligrosa si la usas mal. There's times when you have to pray and if you use the word of God wrong, you're going to get into trouble because you're going to start contention instead of bringing healing to your situation. Let's go to Hebrews 4:12. Vamos a Hebreos 4:12. For the word of God is living, active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both the joints and the marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intention of the heart. Porque la palabra de Dios es viva y eficaz y más cortante que cualquier espada de dos filos. Penetra hasta la división del alma y del espíritu y de las coyunturas y los tuétanos, y es poderosa para discernir los pensamientos y las intenciones del corazón. See, sometimes we're like Peter, and we're guilty. Instead of praying, we're acting on what our flesh wants to do. Instead of being prayed up before we speak to people and bring resolve. Nosotros somos culpables muchas veces, así como Pedro, ¿verdad? Y queremos cortar y queremos salir adelante y resolver las cosas de nuestra manera en la carne. Pero acuérdense, en horas antes, el Señor le pidió a Pedro, ora por mí. Si en hours before, he asked Peter, pray for me. Peter, however, fell asleep, so he says, oops, I'm in the flesh. Let's go to Matthew 26, verses 38 to 40. Vamos a San Mateo 26, versículos 38 al 40. Then he said to them, this is Jesus, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little beyond them, fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. Can you imagine? Needing help, reinforcement. And he said to Peter, so you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? See, and the heart of God was broken because he said, look, you guys needed to pray for me because I'm having a hard time with this. He even asked the Father, if it's thy will, get this cup and take it from me. Aquí andaba Jesús con el corazón quebrantado, ¿verdad? Y entonces mire lo que dijo aquí en español, ¿verdad? Dice, entonces les dijo, mi alma está muy afligida hasta el punto de la muerte. quedaos aquí y velar conmigo. Y adelantándose un poco, cayó sobre su rostro orando y diciendo, Padre mío, si es posible que pase de mí esta copa, pero que no sea como yo quiero, sino hágase tu voluntad, ¿verdad? Como tú quieras. Vino entonces a los discípulos y los halló durmiendo y dijo a Pedro, ¿con qué no pudiste velar una hora conmigo? And so when you see that and the background and the context to it, you understand. He lacked spirituality. He fell asleep. Le faltaba espiritualidad a Pedro y se durmió. Y lo vino en la carne y quiso hacer los asuntos de su manera. See, he wanted to do things his way. And one of the things you and I have to watch out for is not to be in the flesh. Una de las cosas que tenemos que cuidar no estar en la carne, ¿verdad? Don't bring your sword the wrong way into the garden of prayer, the garden of Gethsemane. No se traigan la espada equivocadamente al jardín de Getsemaní. Ahí se ora. La espada no se necesita ahí más que en oración. And remember, this is the place of brokenness and humility. Ese es el lugar de quebrantamiento y humildad. Because if we don't pray before we go out in our knowledge, we're going to mess up. Si no oramos y salimos en la carne, en nuestro conocimiento, vamos a hacer errores. Vamos a Isaías 50, versículo 4. Let's go to Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. El Señor Dios me ha dado lengua de discípulo, para que yo sepa sostener con una palabra al fatigado. Mañana tras mañana me despierta. Despierta mi oído para escuchar como los discípulos. ¿Qué dice el Señor? Te da las palabras para poder orar por alguien. God will always give you the words to pray first and then you speak to someone. Dios te va a dar las palabras y vas a orar primero antes de ir y el Señor te va a arreglar tus relaciones. See, God will bring resolve to your relationships when you do this. Okay, pray first, then go forward. But don't go in with the sword to the garden of prayer. No se van a meter al jardín de oración con la espada porque van a hacer errores. Okay, so that's our first point. The blessings obedience to God's word brings. Number one, it'll reduce your personal or your relationship problems. Punto número uno, reducirá tus problemas de relación. Point number two, it will remind you God is watching over you. Okay, te va a recordar que Dios está cuidándote. Okay, let's go to verses 3 and 5 of chapter 15 of Proverbs. Vamos a los versículos 3 al 5 del libro de Proverbios 15. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. A fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is sensible. En todo lugar están los ojos del Señor, observando a los malos y a los buenos. La lengua apacible es árbol de vida, mas la perversidad en ella quebranta el espíritu. El necio rechaza la disciplina de su padre, mas el que acepta la reprensión es prudente. Now God sees everything we do, good and bad. Dios mira todo lo que hacemos, lo bueno y lo malo. And look at what verse 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. ¿Verdad? Versículo 3 dice en español, ¿verdad? En Proverbios 15. En todo lugar están los ojos del Señor observando a los malos y a los buenos. So can God lose track of anything? No. God never loses track on anything. El Señor nunca se va a tener ninguna cosa ocultada, ¿verdad? Y una de las cosas que la Biblia nos enseña, porque el Señor mira todo, ¿verdad? Sus ojos están en todo lugar. And so the Bible teaches us because he sees everything, his eyes are in every place. He sees the good we do, the evil we do. Mira lo bueno que hacemos y lo malo que hacemos. Pero muchas veces se nos olvida, ¿verdad? Que Dios está mirando todo lo que hacemos. So many times we forget that God is watching everything that we do. Proverbs 5:21, let's go there. Proverbios 5:21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. He also watches your paths. Pues los caminos del hombre están delante de los ojos del Señor, y él observa todos tus senderos, o todas tus sendas, él las mira, él las cuida. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. Segunda de Crónicas 16, 9. 2 Chronicles 16, 9. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. You have acted foolishly in this. Indeed, from now on you will surely have wars. Porque los ojos del Señor recorren toda la tierra para fortalecer a aquellos cuyo corazón es completamente suyo. Tú has obrado neciamente en esto. Ciertamente desde ahora habrá guerras contra ti. So we know that the Lord watches everything. And one of the things, I remember this old saying that this man once brought before me. He said, you know, a lot of times you pastors, you look to the left, you look to the right when you do things. You also look forward and you look behind you, but you never look up. And he said, most of all, he says, look inside you because God is there. Be careful how you make decisions, in other words. Había un viejito que dijo este dicho, ¿verdad? Dice, ustedes pastores miran a la izquierda cuando hacen algo, a la derecha miran por delante, para atrás, ¿verdad? Se les olvida mirar para arriba, que está el Señor mirando todo, pero al mismo tiempo Dios vive dentro de ustedes. No se les olvide que todo lo que hacen, el Señor mira. See, remember, everything you do, God sees. Don't ever forget that. See, men doing things on earth, forgetting that God is seeing them, will always fall into trouble if they forget that God is watching. I think one of the things that protects us the best is to know that we know that God is taking care of everything we do. If we remember that, it keeps our decision making stronger to do the right thing. Cuando estamos nosotros conscientes de que Dios está mirando todo lo que hacemos, ¿verdad? Vamos a tener cuidado de hacer las cosas correctamente. Esto nos ayuda a guardar de ser mal, ¿verdad? See, depending on what you're doing, the fact is that the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. And when you do the good things, he's going to bless you too. Si haces cosas buenas, ahí están los ojos del Señor que te van a traer consuelo, te van a traer bendición. So remember that. Again, I thought of Peter when I saw this verse. Otra vez pensé de San Pedro cuando miré este versículo. Let's go to Luke 22, verses 54 to 62. Remember when he was denying Christ. ¿Se acuerdan cuando estaba negando a Cristo? Y que andaba mal hablando y andaba haciendo todas estas cosas. Pero algo pasó que está aquí en las Escrituras que es muy bonito. Que miramos, ¿verdad?, cómo el Señor lo miró. When Peter was denying the Lord, and the servant girl came up to him and he started cussing at the fire, you know, and being all in the flesh, I remembered that Jesus gave him a look that penetrated deep. And look at what happened. Let's go there. Luke 22, 54 to 62. San Lucas 22, 54 al 62. Having arrested him, they led him away, brought him to the house of the high priest, but Peter was following at a distance. After they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter was sitting among them. And a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the firelight and looking intently at him, said, "This man was with him too." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I don't know him." A little later, another saw him and said, "You're one of them too." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." After about an hour had passed, another man began to insist, saying, "Certainly this man was with him, for he is a Galilean because of his accent too." But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Can you imagine that? After he had denied him, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And when it talks about that look, it's a penetrating look, a real deep one. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, "Before a rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and he wept bitterly. I want you to see that. Habiéndole arrestado, se lo llevaron y le condujeron a la casa del sumo sacerdote, mas Pedro le seguía de lejos. Después de encender ellos una hoguera en medio del patio y de sentarse juntos, Pedro se centró entre ellos. Y una serviente, al verlo sentado junto a la lumbre, fijándose en él detenidamente, dijo, también este estaba con él. Pero él lo negó, diciendo, mujer, yo no lo conozco. Un poco después, otro, al verlo, dijo, tú también eres uno de ellos. Pero Pedro dijo, hombre, no es cierto. Pasada como una hora, otro insistía, diciendo, ciertamente este también estaba con él, pues él también es Galileo. Pero Pedro dijo, hombre, yo no sé de quién hablas. Al instante, estando él todavía hablando, cantó un gallo. Entonces el Señor se volvió y miró a Pedro, y recordó Pedro la palabra del Señor como le había dicho, antes que el gallo cante hoy, me negarás tres veces. Y saliendo fuera lloró amargamente. ¿Verdad? Una de las cosas que pasó ahí, cuando los ojos de Dios te miran, te penetra. When the eyes of the Lord saw Peter, man, it penetrated him. And I don't know if you remember with Noah, the same thing happened. That he found favor in the Lord's eyes in Genesis. I can't remember the verse right off the top of my head, but I think it was Genesis 6:8. Y una de las cosas, ahí es donde Noé también halló favor en los ojos del Señor. But one of the things that I saw there is when Peter saw the Lord, it wasn't a condemning look. It was a look of grace. Cuando el Señor miró los ojos del Señor, el Señor no lo estaba condenando. Le estaba derramando los ojos de gracia. Por eso lloró. Le pesó. That's why Peter broke down. Have you ever done something where you understand that you did something that offended the Lord? And you recognize that He was watching you all the time. And then when you fail, you remember His goodness. And how He restores you when He could have killed you right then and there if He wanted to. But He doesn't. Those are the eyes of grace that we receive from Christ. That's lovely to understand. His eyes are everywhere, and especially the eyes of grace over His children. Los ojos de gracia están sobre sus hijos y sus hijas. No se les olvide de esos ojos amorosos que te están cuidando. Y vive tu vida en una manera que lo glorificas con tu vida. No le traes tristeza, sino le traes esos ojos que te reparten la gloria, la gracia del Señor. So it's great to see the Lord's eyes, right, when you understand, yes, He is seen, but if I'm living in a way, man, that brings a smile to His face. He understands, look, you're doing this for me. And one of the things is I want you to recognize that just as Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, you will too, the more obedient you are to the word of God. Entre más obediente eres a la palabra de Dios, más gracia vas a recibir de parte de tu Señor para ti. God sees everything. You can't hide it anyway. Dios mira todo y no lo puedes esconder. Let's go to Job 34, verses 21 and 22. Job 34, verses 21 and 22. Look at what Job said. For His eyes are upon the ways of a man, and He sees all his steps. There is no darkness or deep shadow where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. You can't hide it anyway. You may hide it from your friends. You may hide it with people around you, but God sees everything you're doing. So why not live the life knowing that you're accountable to God each and every day? Porque sus ojos observan los caminos del hombre y él ve todos sus pasos. No hay tiniebla ni densa oscuridad donde pueden esconderse los que hacen iniquidad. When you're sinning, there's no way you can hide from God. No hay modo que te puedes esconder cuando andas cometiendo iniquidad. So, ¿por qué piensas que te estás escapando? Cuando Dios dice, mira, mis ojos de favor, mis ojos de gracia están sobre ti. Arrepiéntete. See, when the eyes of the Lord of grace are over you, and you're committing sin, the best thing to do is to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've been pretending, but it hasn't been sincere, but here I am. I'm broken, Lord. I realize now. I'm fooling all my friends, all my people around me, but I can't fool you. And just like Peter hurt when he denied the Lord, you will hurt, and you will come back to the place of brokenness. Y cuando así Pedro miró y lo lastimó, se vino para atrás al lugar donde él entendió, ¿verdad?, lo que quería hacer el Señor. Now notice how evil, for the most part, is done at night. Piensen cómo la maldad se hace por la mayoría en la noche. There's a reason for that. Hay una razón por eso. Because you think you're hiding something. You notice when they steal stuff from your house, from your front yard, they usually do it at night, not in the day when they can be seen. Because they think they're getting away with it. Fíjate cuando te roban algo de la casa, ¿verdad? La mayoría de las veces lo hacen de noche porque piensan que se están escapando. Pero realmente nadie se puede escapar que hace iniquidad, dice el Señor, porque yo estoy mirando todo. See, and the Bible says very clearly, they think they're getting away with it, but you can't hide anything from the Lord. He sees all things, right? But they do it during the night because they think they've got better chances to get away with it. But they don't realize they will give an account to God one day. Y no piensan que le van a dar contabilidad al Señor un día. Look at Jeremiah 16, 17. Miren Jeremías 16, 17. 16:7. Okay. Jeremiah 16:17. I'm sorry. For my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity concealed from my eyes. Porque mis ojos están puestos sobre todos sus caminos, que no se me ocultan, ni su iniquidad está encubierta a mis ojos. So you can't get away with it. God's always seeing how you live, and he will always watch how you live because you're his child. Todo el tiempo te va a cuidar. Look at Jeremiah 23:24. Miren Jeremías 23:24. Can a man hide himself in hiding places so that I don't see him? Declares the Lord. Do I not fill the heavens and the earth? Declares the Lord. ¿Podrá alguno esconderse en escondites de modo que yo no lo vea? Declara el Señor. ¿No lleno los cielos y la tierra? Declara el Señor. If I fill the heavens and the earth and I put everything in it, you think you're getting away from me? ¿Tú piensas que me estás escapando? ¿Verdad? Dice el Señor. And look at Job 31:4. Miren Job 31:4. Does he not see my ways and number all my steps? Job said. ¿No ve él mis caminos y cuenta todos mis pasos? You know, I thought about that. You know how we have those trackers on our phones about steps, counting our steps? The Lord keeps better account of our steps than our phone apps. Qué tremendo, ¿verdad? El Señor, guárdanos tus pisadas mejor que tus aparatos del teléfono, que nos dicen cuántos pasos hacemos en un día. El Señor tiene mejor cuentas y nada se le escapa al Señor. He sees all your ways and he counts all your steps. Mira todos tus caminos y cuida todos tus pasos. So I want you to think about that for a little bit, because a lot of people think that God doesn't care. If he's counting our steps, and he's counting the way we live, don't you think he cares about everything in our life? Si el Señor está cuidándonos sus caminos y nuestros pasos, ¿tú no piensas que Dios te quiere? ¿Por qué te está cuidando? Porque él sabe que si no te cuida, te vas a perder. See, God knows that if he doesn't take care of you, you're going to get lost. He counts every one of your steps. Blows me away. I can imagine the tracker that he keeps. Hey, Martin, you stepped here today. Just FYI. Oh, Martin, you went that way. And he reminds me, convicts me, to make sure I'm always walking in the path of righteousness. The Lord will always track our steps. Understand that. El Señor cuida todo. Oh, but I got away with it. It felt good. Yeah. But one day you're going to give an account. Un día vas a dar cuenta. No seas cabezón, no seas cabezona. Do not be hard-headed. Learn that you're going to give an account to God one day for how you live. 1 Peter 3:12. Primera San Pedro 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, And his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Porque los ojos del Señor están sobre los justos, y sus oídos atentos a sus oraciones, pero el rostro del Señor está contra los que hacen el mal. You know what God is doing? He's looking out for you. And he wants to bless you, but if you're doing the wrong things, he says, how can I hear you when I want you to do the right thing so I can bless you? El Señor, te estoy cuidando, porque anda haciendo las cosas que paran la oración, en vez de venirte a hacer las cosas que abren las puertas de oración. No seas necio. There's no one that cares more about you than the Lord. There's no one who loves you more than the Lord. Why live a life like that when it brings you nothing good? Esa clase de vida no te trae nada bueno. ¿Cuántos dicen amén? Ya nos tenía el diablo enciegados por un tiempo. Ya no hay que caer otra vez en obscuridad. Look at verse 4 of Proverbs 15. A wholesome tongue or a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. La lengua apacible es árbol de vida, mas la perversidad en ella quebranta el espíritu. See, we need to learn how to speak to people every day. Necesitamos de poner atención de cómo hablamos con personas cada día. ¿Qué está saliendo de nuestras bocas? What is coming out of our mouth? Are you telling the truth when you speak? ¿Estás hablando con verdad cuando tú hablas? ¿Son palabras saludables? Are these wholesome words that you are using? And I'm not talking about the way the world defines their words. Oh, that's not bad. I can use that one. No, the words that come out of your mouth, are they glorifying God with the words you know are right? ¿Estás hablando con palabras que glorifican al Señor? What does he say here? A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, right? La lengua apacible es un árbol de vida. What does that mean? Right, what does that mean when he says that? That his words are life. Sus palabras son vida. Are you speaking words of life to other people around you? ¿Estás hablando vidas de vida a otra gente? Are you teaching people how to come to Christ? ¿Estás enseñándoles a otra gente cómo se vengan a Cristo? ¿Estás hablando palabras de vida? Are you speaking words of life that lead people into the kingdom? See, how you speak to others, especially people who are new, that don't know the Lord, it's very important that you speak words of life so they can come into the kingdom. The moment that you slip as a Christian and they hear you say something vulgar, it's going to affect the way you minister to them. El momento que salen palabras vulgares de la boca y le vas a ministrar a alguien, no te van a recibir lo que estás ministrando. See, the type of tongue that God honors is the wholesome tongue that is the tree of life. ¿Verdad? La lengua apacible es la vida que el Señor honra. No la lengua perversa. Not the perverse tongue. Not the tongue with lies. No la lengua con mentiras. What he's trying to tell us here, look, use your words in the way God commands you to use them. Usa las palabras como Dios te manda que las usas. Que no haya profanidad ni perversión en tus palabras. Don't let perversion and profanity come out of your words that corrupt God's word. See, what's the opposite of that? Wholesome words are blessings, aren't they? They encourage people. They strengthen people. They keep people wanting to go and do more things that are positive. Las palabras buenas, al contrario, levantan a la gente, la animan, ¿verdad? Pero cuando andamos acá con palabras chuecas, el Señor no va a honrar eso. See, when we're twisting the word of God and letting our mouths be used the wrong way, God cannot honor that in our life. It's a deception of the enemy to make you think that it's okay. Guard the words that you speak with. Don't develop using harsh, coarse words. No agarres el hábito de estar hablando palabras necias, porque te va a robar la verdad. It's going to strip you from the truth, and it causes gaps in your spirit, it says here. Causa, ¿verdad?, espacios entre tu espíritu negativos. John 10:10. Vamos a San Juan 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. El ladrón solo viene para robar y matar y destruir. Yo he venido para que tengan vida. Para que tengan la vida en abundancia. See, the thief steals life away. And he perverts God's way. That's why we can't speak the way the world does. Así el diablo, ¿verdad?, viene a robar la vida y perverte las cosas de Dios. Dios vino a dar vida abundante. See, Jesus came to give us abundant life. And the abundant life is speaking words that honor God. Es hablando con la palabra que honra al Señor. Sound teachers of doctrine will display wholesome words of life and teach God's word. ¿Verdad? Las personas que tienen doctrina sólida van a hablar con palabras que edifican y traen vida y van a enseñar las palabras de Dios. Look at verse 5. A fool rejects the father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is sensible. El necio rechaza la disciplina de su padre, mas el que acepta la reprensión es prudente. Why would you despise good instruction? ¿Por qué vamos a negar buena instrucción? Pero es la naturaleza del hombre. Te dan tus padres, te dan tus amigos cristianos buena palabra, saludable, y mucha gente no la toma y hace su propia onda, ¿verdad? Su propia cosa. See, people give us sound advice, our parents give us sound advice, and we still choose not to follow instruction. Especially when our kids are teenagers, right? You can give them the best advice possible. But many of them are going to turn away from that sound counsel and do things opposite, and they're going to find out that the words that you gave them were the correct ones. But they have to find out for themselves. Many times in the Bible says, why go through that? Why despise good instruction? Aquí los jóvenes que están aquí, ¿verdad? Acuérdense, ¿por qué vas a negar las palabras buenas que te dan tus padres? Y es lo que Salomón le quería decir a sus hijos. Cuando se te da buena instrucción, no la rechaces. Úsala. Pero ya sabes cómo van a ser muchos de nuestros hijos y hijas. Van a querer ser su propia cosa y rechazan la palabra sana y al rato ahí andan llorando y pasando por mucho dolor. The many of our kids reject sound counsel and they're paying a heavy price. Remember, be prudent, be wise, receive instruction. Receive correction from your parents, young people. It's going to bless you. Recibe corrección de tus padres, recibe la instrucción, ¿verdad?, sabia de tus padres para que crezcas. Look at verse 6. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. En la casa del justo hay mucha riqueza, pero en las ganancias del impío hay turbulación. Now I want you to think about that, because so many people want to build up riches and they think that's going to make them happy. Hay mucha gente que quiere levantar, ¿verdad?, riquezas. Pero mire lo que dice, en la casa del justo hay mucho tesoro. Right, in the house of the righteous there's much treasure, the Bible says. If you live a righteous life, you're going to be blessed in the spiritual things, not the material only. You will be blessed all over. Cuando dice la palabra aquí, ¿verdad?, que cuando la casa del justo se construye, hay mucho tesoro. Quiere decir que tenemos muchas bendiciones, también que el oro y la plata no compra. We also have a lot of blessings that silver and gold cannot buy. And as we build that house in God's righteousness, right? One of the things is you have to see the lives of the servants in the Bible. Most of the servants in the Bible did not have a lot of wealth. La mayoría de los siervos en la Biblia no tenían mucha riqueza. Muy poco. Si miramos a Jesús, como ejemplo, no tenía mucha riqueza. Right? When we see Jesus, he didn't have lots of riches. Everything he had was borrowed. Lease and loan. Todo lo que tenía Jesús, ¿verdad?, era prestado. Una de las cosas, no tenía una mansión, un palacio como el Papa. He didn't have a mansion and a palace like the Pope. He lived very humbly. And this is what the Bible is saying. Look, if you're building your life around riches, you're going to be deceived. Si estás construyendo tu casa sobre las riquezas, vas a estar decepcionado. Es lo que dice la Escritura. See, people are made righteous through Jesus Christ. ¿Verdad? Nosotros somos justos, hechos justos por medio de Jesucristo. Y cuando Él nos lava y nos justifica, viene mucho tesoro a nuestras vidas. When Christ washes us and justifies us, a lot of treasure comes our way. Right? It's not physical treasures that he's talking about. Solomon was the richest man in the scriptures. Salomón era un hombre muy rico en las escrituras, uno de los más ricos. ¿Verdad? Y una de las cosas, ¿verdad?, que cuando te salva, ¿cuántos cuando se salvaron les dio el Señor un chorro de multiplicación material? Muy pocos. When you came to Christ, did God open up this big pot of gold and pour it on you and said, man, your house is going to go from a $10,000 home back in the day to $100,000 now? Never. Why? Because he knows the true things that are valuable are the ones that silver and gold cannot buy. ¿Por qué no nos dio esa casota y ese carro caro y todo? Porque sabe que las cosas materiales no te van a llenar, ¿verdad? Y es una de las cosas. Los tesoros, ¿verdad? Se tienen que mirar espiritualmente también. See, the treasures that you get from Christ, you have to see them in the spiritual sense as well. And we are truly blessed people, are we not? Somos bendecidos, tenemos mucho, right? The Bible says we should be content with what we have. La Biblia dice que debemos de estar contentos con lo que tenemos, ¿verdad? Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. Vamos a 1 Timoteo, capítulo 6, versículos 8 y 9. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. 1 Timoteo 6, 8 y 9. Si tenemos que comer y con qué cubrirnos, con eso estaremos, ¿qué? Contentos. Pero los que quieren enriquecerse caen en tentación y lazo en muchos deseos necios y dañosos que hunden a los hombres en la ruina y en la perdición. So what he's saying is, when you have the love of money, and you love money, he says, you're going to find out it's not what it's meant to be. You're going to be empty. Do not focus on the material things. Focus on the spiritual things. No andes enfocándote en el dinero porque el dinero no te va a llenar. Estar contento con lo que tienes. That's a very big key in the Christian walk. When you realize how blessed you are and you're content, man, you're at peace. Cuando miras lo que tienes ya, que tienes mucho en el Señor, ya te quedas contento en cualquier situación que estás. You are rich when you have Christ. Eres rico cuando tienes al Señor. Okay? And that's one of the things. Okay? So notice what it says. The blessings of obedience to God's word, right, brings reduction in your human problems. It will remind you that God is watching over you. And then the last thing I want to leave with you. Do not seek evil things. It reminds you not to seek evil things. El último punto que les quiero dejar, que recordará que no busques las cosas malas. Let's close up today's teaching, verses 6 and 7. Vamos a los versículos 6 y 7 de Proverbios 15. Great wealth is in the house of the righteous, but trouble is in the income of the wicked. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of fools are not so. En la casa del justo hay mucha riqueza, pero en las ganancias del impío hay turbulación. Los labios de los sabios esparcen conocimiento, pero no así el corazón de los necios. So I want you to see that. Trouble always comes when you seek the evil things. Problemas todo el tiempo se vienen cuando estás buscando las cosas malas. If you try to make more money, and you spend your time making more money, right? And you fall in love with that money, you're looking for trouble. Si tú andas buscando hacerte más rico y tener más dinero, vas a buscar más y más y te vas a enamorar del dinero y al rato andas lejos del Señor. See, trouble comes with that kind of heart. Problemas vienen con ese clase de corazón. So, how do you use money? ¿Cómo usan el dinero? Lo usan para el Señor. Pagas tus biles, todo lo que tienes, ¿verdad? Le das al Señor primero su parte, pero después ya lo usas para glorificar a Dios. Te cuidas, pero al mismo tiempo ya le dices al Señor tus primicias, Dios honra eso. Now, when you use your money, give the Lord his portion first. And once you give the Lord his portion, then everything else falls into place. And then you start using your riches for God's glory. Use it to invest in heaven. Usa tu dinero para invertir en los cielos. How do you do that? Well, by helping missionaries, widows, whatever you know God puts in your heart to do. Lo que el Señor pone en tu corazón de hacer. But if you put money first, you're never going to do those things because you're so busy caring about yourself. And God says, don't do that. seed into eternal things, because that's the only thing you can take to heaven, your family and the investments you make in heaven. Las únicas dos cosas que te puedes llevar al cielo es tu familia y las inversiones que haces en la eternidad. Eso te va a recompensar el Señor en los cielos. Dale al Señor lo que es de Él y luego usa tu dinero para glorificar al Señor. Cuida, paga tus biles, todas las cosas que necesitas, pero también hágase consciente del futuro, de que vas a invertir, un día el Señor te va a recompensar. Remember to invest in heavenly accounts. Be careful not to fall in love with money because it's evil. No te enamores del dinero porque es maldad. ¿Cuántos saben que Dios nos va a cuidar de todo lo que necesitamos? God will always take care of everything we need. Look at Proverbs 16:8. Vamos a Proverbios 16:8. Proverbs 16:8. Better is a little with righteousness than great income with injustice. Mejor es poco con justicia que gran ganancia con injusticia, right? The Bible says it very clear. What good does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? La Biblia nos dice, ¿de qué sirve que el hombre gane todo el mundo y pierda su alma? Right? It's very clear here. Do not fall in love with money. Look at Proverbs 15:7, the one we're reading right now. Miren Proverbios 15:7. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of fools are not so. Los labios de los sabios esparcen conocimiento, pero no así el corazón de los necios. So you have a choice in this life, to spread the knowledge of God or not. Tú tienes una escoger en esta vida, si vas a esparramar el conocimiento de Dios o no. That means you have to preach to people, you have to minister to people, you have to share the good news of the gospel with people. That's your choice. But I know there's a soul winner's crown for people who invest in the kingdom. The Lord will give you a crown for winning people to the Lord. I mean, leading people to the Lord. He wins them, you lead them. ¿Verdad? El Señor tiene una corona por los que ganan almas. Y tenemos una escoger en este mundo, desparramar el conocimiento de Dios y decirle a gente cómo se vienen a los pies de Cristo. Y el que es sabio dice, gana almas, right? The Bible says, he who wins souls is wise. And so one of the things I want you to understand, you help people or you don't. That's your heart. Como tú quieras. Puedes ayudar a gente o no. Tú escoges. Be wise or not wise. That's up to you. Once you hear the word of God, you're accountable. Cuando tú ya oyes la palabra, puedes hacer sabio o necio. Tú escoge. Pero una de las cosas dice, no seas necio, ser sabio. Look at Psalm 51, verses 12 to 15. And we'll close up with this. Salmo 51, 12 al 15. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. Qué bonito salmo, ¿verdad? Restitúyeme, Señor, el gozo de tu salvación y sosténeme con un espíritu de poder. Salmo 51, 12 al 15. Entonces enseñaré a los transgresores tu camino y los pecadores se convertirán a ti. Líbrame de los delitos de sangre, oh Dios. Dios de mi salvación, entonces mi lengua cantará con gozo tu justicia. Abre mis ojos, mis labios, perdón, oh Señor, para que mi boca anuncie tu palabra. See, one of the things that brings us great joy is leading others to Christ. And one of the things we have a choice. Open your mouth and use it for the Lord or not. Abre tu boca y úsala para el Señor o no. Pero una de las cosas, ¿verdad? Acuérdate, Él escucha tus oraciones. Remember we just read, He hears our prayers, right? And so if we've got people in our family that are not saved, lift them up to the Lord to get saved. ¿Verdad? Sigue orando por las familiares que tú tienes que todavía no se vienen a Cristo y levántalos. Deja que el Señor escuche tu oración y dile, Señor, ábreme mis labios, ¿verdad? Y mi boca para alabarte a ti y para que se venga esta gente a tus pies. Ask the Lord, Lord, open my mouth to praise you and that as I speak to people in my family about you, that you will bless those words and they will fall on fertile ground. If you do those kind of things, Lord, help me to open my mouth and tell people about how they can get saved. Señor, abre mi boca y enséñame cómo ministrarle a la gente que se venga la salvación. Oren más, platiquen menos. Pray more, talk less. And then when you come prayed up, then you share the Bible. Then you share the scriptures. Stop and pray. Meditate on who you're going to talk to about the Lord. And then ask Him for those divine appointments. Pídele al Señor las citas divinas para poder ir en su nombre. Pero ahora, estar listo para cuando ya vayas, ya sabes que vas a pelear contra el enemigo y el enemigo va a querer poner obstáculos para pararte. Si ya estás orado, ya estás preparado en la palabra, ya vas. Y yo te garantizo que va a haber muchas pozas donde vas a pescar muy suave, muy efectivo para ganar almas. The more prayed up you are, the more you read in the Word, the more your fishing holes are going to be full of fish that come to Christ. One of the greatest feelings that you have is when someone comes to the kingdom. This weekend when we went to Juarez, that was one of my biggest blessings, seeing all these people commit to the Lord. And it's such a joy to know that you've been used of the Lord in His grace to lead them there. Cuando estaba en Juárez este sábado, ¿verdad? Estábamos todos. Qué gozo nos dio cuando levantaron las manos toda la gente para entrar al reino. Pero es tu escoger. Ya no te pierdas bendición. El tiempo está muy corto. Hay mucha gente que se está perdiendo en nuestras familias, que no estamos pescando ya. Nos dimos. No se den porque nunca saben cuándo se van a venir al Señor. Okay, don't give up fishing for the souls of people in your family, people you care about, friends, because God is coming soon. And we need some good fishermen out there to cast the hook of the word, and that many people will come to Christ in these last days. It's a great opportunity to be a Christian, isn't it? Es una oportunidad muy grande ahorita ser cristianos que podemos pescar en el nombre de Cristo y que se salve gente del infierno. Es algo hermoso. It's a beautiful feeling to lead people out, right, of hell and then placing them in the kingdom of Christ. Okay, guys? So this is what we've learned today, right? The blessings that come with obeying God's word. Las bendiciones que vienen con obedecer la palabra de Dios. It'll reduce your relationship problems. Soft answers. Remember, turn away wrath. Va a reducir los problemas relacionales en tu familia, con tus amigos, porque vas a usar palabras blanditas, tiernas, y se va a rechazar la ira ahí. Then point number two, it will remind you God is watching over you. Don't forget that as a Christian. No se te olvide que Dios te está mirando y todo lo que haces se le pasa a la gente alrededor de ti, pero no a Dios. Okay, remember, God is watching you. Guard where you walk. Guard where you are. Recuérdate que Dios te está cuidando y te quiere mucho, no quiere que pisotees su sangre. And then the last thing, don't seek after evil things. No busques las cosas de maldad, las cosas malas. Busca las cosas de Dios. Amen. Like the worship group to come up. Let's stand up. We'll pray. And then we'll dismiss. Chapter 15 has a lot of good stuff in it. El capítulo 15 tiene muchas buenas cosas para nosotros. Vamos a orar. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your living word. And we thank you, Lord, that the more obedience we show in your word, the more blessings we're going to get from you. And that, Father, we will live our lives knowing that you see everything about us. That, Lord, everything we do, every path we go to, and every step, Father, we take, you count, better than any step counter that we can get on our phones. Lord, help us to walk into wise places so that we will honor you with our life. And then help us not to look after evil things, but the good things that bring blessing not only to us, but to our families, so that we will honor you all the days of our life. Señor, enséñanos en este día, Señor, seguir adelante, reconociendo, Señor, que tú eres un Dios tan fiel, tan hermoso. Y que en esta tarde podemos reconocer, Señor, que tú lo que quieres para nosotros es cuidarnos y bendecirnos, Señor. Y yo te pido en esta tarde, Señor, que se mueva tu Espíritu Santo, que nos puedas mover, Señor, en obediencia a tu palabra, para que puedas sanar relaciones en nuestras familias, Señor. Si estaban heridos uno de nuestros hijos, hijas, primos, primas, tíos, tías, Señor, que tú te vas a mover en una manera muy hermosa para sanar esas relaciones, porque vamos a usar palabras de vida, palabras tiernas, Señor, que los van a traer a tus pies. Luego también recuérdanos, Señor, que estás cuidando de todo lo que hacemos, que será que aquí a los seres humanos podemos nosotros decepcionar, pero a ti no. Tú cuentas todos nuestros pasos, tú sabes dónde vamos, con quién estamos. Ayúdanos a no pisotear tu sangre, sino caminar en lugares rectos, Señor, que te glorifican. Y luego recuérdanos de no buscar las cosas malas. No nos van a traer nada bueno. Mantiéndonos en la senda de justicia para que te glorifiquenos con nuestras vidas. And then, Lord, we pray that you will guard our steps. Keep us on the road of justice, Father, of righteousness, so that, Father, we will not harm you or hurt you in any way, and that we won't harm ourselves as well. So bless your people with a beautiful night of rest. Guard them, protect them, and Father, lead them to the places, Father, where they have great fellowship with you tonight before they go to sleep, Father, that you will minister to them and teach them, Lord, more and more deeper things of the Spirit, so they will apply it to their lives. Señor, te pido que en esta noche nos cuides a todos, que podamos, Señor, meditar en las cosas que aprendimos ahora y nos acérquenos a ti en esta noche para que nos ministres, para que nos enseñen las cosas que tenemos que hacer, para estar contigo cercanamente, Señor, que no nos alejemos de ti en estos últimos días. Te alabamos, te glorificamos y te damos gracias, Señor. En el nombre de Cristo Jesús te lo pedimos. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll sing one more song and then we'll dismiss. God bless you guys. Have a great night. Dios los bendiga. Tengan una noche hermosa.